I want to thank him for allowing me the opportunity to be here to minister. I have felt a liberty in this pulpit ever since. Since last night, my first time to ever preach here. And I commented to someone yesterday, this is one of the places that makes evangelism, traveling, makes ministry worthwhile. To come into a church and to know that everything is in place. Yes. Everything is ready. The people are prepared. Your hearts are prepared. That's why we have had a move of God. That's why God has demonstrated his power and his glory in a way that he never has before, because you have paid the price for it. We have not had a great revival because of the evangelist. We have had a great revival because this is a great church. Because you have done everything in your within you to make sure that the ground is ready and the ground is fertile. And I sense and I feel in the Holy Ghost that fruitful and flourishing times are ahead of Athens United Pentecostal Church. Amen. If you believe that, thank the Lord for it tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I also want to give honor to Brother Hart and his dear wife. Wonderful man and woman of God, minister for many years, and a great blessing to this church. Brother and Sister Grissom, I feel a connection with Brother and Sister Grissom and Brother and Sister Hart. And last night, Sister Hart had basically the Lord had spoke through her to me, confirming some things that the Lord had spoke to me. And I haven't talked to Sister Hart. This is probably only the second or third time that I've seen them in my life. And I feel like everything that she told me, being led of the Lord, confirms the direction that I want to go with this service tonight. Amen. And I appreciate people that pray. I appreciate people that are in tune. I appreciate people that have an ability to hear from God. Because let me tell you something. What the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. When you know two or three people are coming forth and they're speaking the same word, and they haven't talked to each other, they hadn't had any kind of conversation, they didn't get together and plan it and devise it and say, this is what we're going to do in the service, this is how we're going to work. You know, when God begins to speak to three different people, there is no doubt in my mind that it is God and that he is in control. Amen. Praise God. Talked to my wife. She of course, as I said the other night, we're expecting our second child, and I will be a daddy again in about 8 months. And she is having typical pregnancy sickness. And that is the reason why she hadn't been able to travel with me for the past couple of weeks. She has suffered two miscarriages already. And so we want to be very careful, take every precaution that's necessary. And thank you for understanding. And she wanted me to stress to the Grissoms and to this great church that she is looking forward to coming back at a time where she feels well, she feels energy, where she can sing, where she can pray with people in the altars. She is looking forward to coming to this church and to being with each and every one of you. And I can truthfully tell you, my wife is a true woman of God. And she is one of the purest hearts and purest spirits, one of the meekest individuals that you will ever meet. And she never meets a stranger. And I would not have a ministry without her. And I'm not even hesitant to tell you that tonight. And I truthfully believe that when she comes, she will be a blessing to this church. Amen. I want to direct our attention to a passage of Scripture, the book of Isaiah. I thought for sure that I was going to go this direction last night. I have felt this strong on my heart, even as I was traveling up from Houston, and I was praying on the way up here, and the Lord just kind of began to speak some things to me just concerning the church here, things that you're dealing with, things that you're going through, and the direction that God wants to move you in. Amen. So with that being said, I want to read from the book of Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19. Isaiah 59 and 19. It says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." I want to minister from this subject tonight, raising the standard. Raising the standard. Father, anoint your word in the name of Jesus. I take dominion and authority over anything and everything that would be in opposition to your will and to your purpose. I pray for liberty, for strength, for fresh unction, for fresh anointing tonight to deliver my soul to this great church. Let your will be done. I bind anything that would hold your people back from receiving everything that you have in store for them. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. This church has been under attack. This ministry in this church has been under constant pressure from forces from within and forces from without. But as the Lord began to speak to me so clearly on the way up from Houston yesterday, He began to tell me that the flood tide of the attack of the enemy is not greater and it's not more powerful than the standard that I have set. What I have put in motion, what I have orchestrated, what I have ordained by my spirit and my will, there's not a devil, there's not a combination of devils that can stop, that can thwart, that can stampede, that can override and overrule the plan, the purpose, the will of Almighty God and the revival and the harvest that He's going to bring to this church and that He's going to bring to this community. Amen. There's four things that you have to understand. Number one, the church is under spiritual attack. And you can't take it personal when the church is under spiritual attack. Let me explain something to you. When you begin to go through junk in your life, and people are not acting the way that you think that they should, or you're being treated unfairly or unjustly, it's not about the people and it's not about you. It's about warfare that's going on. And when the times of pressure come, because let me tell you something, the enemy is going to do whatever he can to get into our minds, to get into our heads, And if I may say so, to get up in our grill and do everything that he can to destroy God's purpose in our life. But let me tell you something. The more we pray, the more we fast, the more we worship, the more we keep raising the bar of the standard of God's anointing and God's power, there's not anything that will destroy the church. There's not an infidel's pen that will destroy the church. There's not a skeptic's mouth or an atheist or an infidel or any witch or any demon that can destroy the church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God that's built upon the rock, that's built upon the name of Jesus, that's built upon holiness and righteousness and the oneness of God. He said, I will lift up and raise up a standard against all the power of the enemy. The Lord began to tell me, and I didn't even know what was going on. But as I began to drive, I haven't even got to my message yet. I'm in the Holy Ghost. As I began to drive into Athens, I began to feel the thickness and the intensity of the prince of this area, of the opposition. But I couldn't put a finger on it. As a matter of fact, I felt it so intense that I was hardly able to sleep last night. It was so intense. It was so thick. But let me explain something to you. I was able to get to sleep. But the truth of the matter is, when the blood is applied, spirits cannot penetrate what has been established. When you're covering your finances in the blood, when you're covering your marriage in the blood, when you're covering your church in the, my God, I feel the preacher in me right now. When you cover your lives in the blood, there's not a spirit, there's not a principality, there's not a devil, there's not a power in hell that can stop the anointing of God, that can stop the purpose of God, that can stop the plan of God of what he is doing and what he is orchestrating and what he is setting in motion in your heart and in your life. Amen. Let me explain something to you. Truth is under attack. Finances are really under attack. Marriages are under attack. Families are under attack. Everywhere you look around us, people are under attack. And the pressure is only going to get greater between now and the rapture of the church. Because he said everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Amen. There's a propaganda of peace in our world. We are accelerating very fast at a frightening speed toward a one world government. And let me tell you that's going to usher in. It is setting everything up for the Antichrist to come and to rule the world. Amen. We are going to enter into a time of peace. But don't kid yourself, that's not going to be the end of the battle. Because it's going to be warfare. It's going to be pain. It's going to be agony. But I'm telling you right now, in the midst of it all, I see a church that's rising up in these last days. I see a church that's storming the gates of hell. I see a church that's going to conquer. I see a church that's going to be victorious. I've got a message for the devil tonight, and I've got a message for the spirit world. He cannot stop. He cannot hinder. He cannot put a roadblock in front of the only way a church can prevail is through prayer and fasting and being the opposite of what we feel and what we see in the spirit world. And it was so amazing. The Lord began to speak to me and say and tell me about how, this was before the conversation with Brother and Sister Hart, about how the Grissoms have come under attack, how the church has come under attack, and how the church is also in a season of revival, but also in a season of spiritual warfare. And God began to make it clear to me what's going on. And He told me, the warfare is greater than it's ever been. But what I have in Athens, Texas, is more powerful, it's more anointed. They cannot stop it. They cannot overrule it. They cannot over-assert themselves above the power that I have. The church. Man. And understand that this area is under heavy control of demonic pressures and principalities and powers and witchcraft and everything else. If we have any witches here tonight, I'm going to tell you in the Holy Ghost, I'm not scared of you. The truth of the matter is God isn't scared of you either. Because greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. We're more than a conqueror through Him that loves us. Because I've been attacked by you before. I have been under your pressure before. And I know who you are. And I'm not scared of you tonight. You come to me with your seances. You come to me with all of your junk and all of your filth and all of your garbage. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. We shall not be defeated. We shall not be overruled by the powers and spirits of hell and the powers of darkness that would try to come against the church of the living God. The Lord basically said, what's in this area is not strong enough to overrule what I have put placed in motion, what I have orchestrated according to my divine will. But the church must remain steadfast, unmovable in the apostles' doctrine. Don't move off of the doctrine, whatever you do. It's still repentance. It's still baptism in Jesus' name. There is no other way to be baptized. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's still the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. As the Spirit of God giveth the utterance, don't move off of the apostles' doctrine. That's the foundation of heaven. It's the foundation of everything we do. And if we keep on messing up the foundation, there's no way that the church can move in the direction and in the plan and in the purpose of God. We must stand on the foundation like we never have before. It's still the oneness of God. There is no other God. Three that bear witness in heaven, the Word, the Name, and the Holy Ghost. But Trinitarians ignore the end of that verse, and it says all three are one. We are built on that foundation of the oneness of God. There is one God. They are not two separate persons. We got to get our minds made up and our foot on the rock what we believe and stand on it. Let me tell you young people something tonight. It's not enough for you to believe it just because your pastor preaches it. It's not enough for you to believe it just because mom and dad said this is the way it is and this is the way it's always going to be. No! You've got to get a love for the truth. You've got to say, Jesus, show me what I believe. Oh God, let revelation come to my heart and my spirit. Baptize me and renew me with the love for the truth. We don't have a love for the truth, we'll fall for anything. We'll fall for the lies of this emerging movement that's cropping up among us, saying anything goes, and it's all about grace, and it's all about mercy, and it's all about peace. I believe in all those things, but the foundation of truth has not changed, and it never will change. There's power in truth. There's power in separation. There's power in holiness. I still believe in the ministry of angels. I still believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I still believe in the working of miracles. I still believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell and there is a rapture if the Word of God says it and it's in it. That's the way that it's supposed to be. There is no other way. There is no other message. There is no other gospel. And if any man or any angel come preaching another gospel, the Bible says to let him be accursed. In addition to that, I still believe in separation from the world. I still believe that we don't have to mix with the world to try to win the world. I don't believe we have to go to a bar room and drink in an effort to try to get a sinner to come into the church. I don't believe that we have to smoke a drag with somebody out in the world to try to get them to come to our services. I heard a story years ago of a minister. He was basically trying to start a church somewhere. And he was trying to get into the community, which is a good thing. But the truth of the matter is he took it further than what he was supposed to. He would come home, they would smell alcohol on his breath. They would smell tobacco and everything else. And they would say, what's going on? He said, I'm trying to become all things to all men that I would win some. That's not what the Bible says. We are to love the sinner, but we're to hate the sin. There's got to be something that rises up within us that says, I hate sin. I hate adultery. I hate lying. I hate cheating. I hate murder. I hate it all. If we love God, hate evil, there are no in-betweens. There is no middle ground. There's just some things, they're not up for discussion. They're not up for debate. They're black and white in the Word of God. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hila mahasha. What are you doing preaching about this in a revival meeting? I'm telling you right now, if we don't get a grip on what we believe, we're going to fall for the deception. We're going to fall for the lies. We're going to fall for the spirits of this age that are trying to seduce the church to a point that we'll believe anything and preach anything. Time to raise the standard higher than it's ever been raised. I know that there's people in the congregation that don't agree with me tonight, but I'm not. But you just remember, I didn't say it. If God says something is a shame, I wouldn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. There are some things that he just said. There's a fence that I put there and that I've established to keep my church apart, to keep my people separate, whether it be by word, whether it be by epistle, whether it be by tradition. Remove it not. Don't touch it. Don't mess with it. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. It's the same way it's always been. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in changing some of our methods to try to reach this generation. But we don't change the Word of God. We don't change the Word of God because it's truth that sets men free. It's truth that brings people out of darkness into His marvelous light. And with the church in this hour becomes like a wandering star from one direction to another. We will mislead a whole nother generation that's trying to look for us, that's trying to search for truth and righteousness. It's something that can forever change their lives. Oh, buy the truth and sell it not. Sell it not. It's not for sale. Truth is not for sale. Holiness is not for sale. Our outward standards of holiness, that's not for sale. Hidabokosha. But I believe we, at the same time, we can be so holy on the inside and be full of hypocrisy on the inside. The devil can get to that kind of church too. I don't want to just be holy on the outside, but I want to be holy on the inside to reflect the beauty of holiness on the outside. Because the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will teach us. The Holy Ghost will instruct us. That's why He gives us the Holy Ghost. Oh no, I'm not come to pastor tonight, but I'm just simply telling us in the Holy Ghost that there. Let's just remember who we are. Let's remember where we are founded, because that it puts that much more pressure on the spirit world, and they cannot stop a church that is steadfast. They cannot stop a church that is unmovable. They cannot stop a church that's truth loving, prayer loving, holiness loving. I'm telling you, you cannot get in the way of that kind of a church. It's time to raise the standard higher than we've ever raised it before. But that doesn't mean being mean with our message. That doesn't mean being harsh and judgmental and critical. That doesn't mean acting like, well, bless God, we've got a better church than you, or we're too good to associate with you. No, that's not what holiness is all about. Holiness is to show that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. This is how they know that we are His disciples, by our love one for another. So we must stay together in love. And I'm telling you right now, the spirit world would love to see dissension, quarreling, gossip, division, bickering, sowing discord in a church. The spirit world would love to see a church with loose cannons who devour everything that comes into their path, given to all lying and discord and speaking. speaking things with the tongue that we ought not to speak. But then again, the spirit world would also see a church that gives in to the winds of change and compromise, who lets everything go and throws all caution to the wind, and nothing else matters anymore. There are no more lines. There are no separation. Just come as you are. Do what you want. God will forgive you because you're covered by grace. But the thing about it is, there's a cross that's involved. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and let him follow me. Jesus kept carrying the cross. He did everything that he was supposed to. And at the end of the day, even with all of the pressure that he felt, even with all the beating and the scourging and the mocking and everything that people did, and people trying to challenge him to come down from the cross, he stood his ground. But at the end of the day, the centurion bowed before the cross and said, surely this man was the Son of God. I'm telling you right now, there are some spirits in this area that are getting ready to bow to what's going on around here. They're getting ready to give up. They're getting ready to retreat. They're getting ready to surrender. And this church is about to take this area like you've never taken it before. But I'm telling you, if you will take it if you remain strong, if you may remain steadfast, if you remain unmovable. There's not a devil that can stop what's going on and what's taking place and what's being born and bred within the church in this hour. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Everything that I just mentioned, I mentioned truth, I mentioned doctrine, I mentioned our separation issues. It doesn't matter how much we love the truth and claim to believe it. If we don't pray, if we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we're an accident getting ready to happen. Because I'm telling you right now, if we don't have a prayer life, I'm preaching to everybody in the house, myself included, if there is not a strong foundation of prayer and fasting in our life, then nothing will be moved. No one will be affected. And the truth of the matter is, this cometh not but by prayer and by fasting. There are some things that are just not going to bow. They're not going to surrender. They're not going to give in if a church is not constant and steady in prayer and fasting. Why does the enemy come into our churches like a flood? It's because of prayerless preachers and prayerless pastors and prayerless people. Truth of the matter is, I know that I'm not preaching in that kind of church tonight, but all that I'm saying is we need to stay on the rock. We need to stay grounded in what we believe. God is looking for a people that is not going to change. We're not going to waver. Because I'm telling you right now, if we waver, if we get so caught up in what's going on with this emerging movement that is among us, saying that we don't need a preacher, we don't need a church, I'm telling you, you're not going to hear without a preacher. Then we keep that pressure on the spirit world. Amen. And sooner or later, they're going to have to make a choice. Yes. After the service last night, I had a discussion with Brother and Sister Hart. She began to tell me there was a program on television called 60 Minutes that somebody saw. And it was basically some, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were interviewing some witches. And they said that Athens, Texas, is the top area for the practice of witchcraft in the entire United States. But they said there's only one thing. See, I didn't know any of this. I had no idea what was going on. I knew in general that this area was under spiritual pressure. But I had no idea in my mind that it was so prevalent in Athens, Texas. I hadn't talked to Brother Grissom about it, and he didn't tell me about it. But when I got here, I heard this, and they said the only thing that's holding us back from taking complete control of this area is one church. You're the church. You're the church that they were talking about in the news. You're the church that they were talking about on 60 Minutes. Let me explain something to you. You're known in the world. Everybody in the world knows who you are, because it was shared with the world. And everybody in heaven knows who you are. Everybody in hell for sure knows who you are. So the truth of the matter is, that spirit is not going to dominate this area. That Goliath is coming down. Because it cannot stand against the name. He cannot stand against the word. He cannot stand against the blood. And he cannot stand against the church that is man in battle stations through prayer, through fasting, and that's on the front lines of spiritual warfare. Even as I speak, there is confusion going on in the spirit world. Hell is being shaken. Everybody out there is getting confused, and they're wondering what's happening and what's going on. They're feeling an earth that's starting to quake. They're feeling things that are shaking around them. That's why I have come under personal attack this very week. That's why people in this church have come under personal attack, because God is about to break something in this community that's never been broken before. But it's time to raise the bar. It's time to get more aggressive. It's time to get stronger. It's time to get more steadfast. You don't remember anything else I've preached tonight. It's the name, it's the word, and it's the blood. The name, the word, the blood. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll probably get some emails after this statement, but I've had them before, some rougher than others. The truth of the matter is, we're not staying here when the Antichrist comes. I don't expect you to say amen. But the truth of the matter is, he's not powerful enough to override the Holy Ghost, to override the church, to stop what's happening. So somewhere in the midst of all this pressure, I'm looking for a rapture. I'm looking to get out of here. And by that same token, let me remind you that we still believe in preaching on the rapture and the coming of the Lord. I know that it's not a popular subject in the 21st century, but let me remind you something. There is still a heaven. There is still a hell. There is still a judgment seat of Christ. There is still, we are all going to stand before God one day and give an account. Well, you can take me to every scripture in the Bible about hell, heaven, and I still wouldn't believe it. okay, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to put you in God's hands. But I would encourage you to go to Walmart and buy a book by the name of Bill Weiss, who went to hell. Yes, he went to hell for 23 minutes. Another man by the name of Don Piper, he went to heaven for about 15 minutes. You don't believe the Word of God? Then look into human accounts of what has happened. I'm going to tell you how I operate. I don't argue with atheists. I don't argue with people who tell me point blank that they don't believe in God. They don't believe in heaven, or they don't believe in hell. If you want to argue with me about it, the truth of the matter is you're wasting your time, because I'm not going to give you the time of day if you want to discuss those kind of things. Because the truth, number one, it's already decided in the Word of God. And number two, I mean, there's already proof scientifically, physically. And furthermore, the Bible says one day that where every knee's going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is going to explain it to you soon enough. So all I can do is pray for you and pray that revelation and understanding would come to your mind, because you have pretty much already decided yourself. And nobody can convince you or change your mind that there's not a life after this world. I'm telling you, we better raise the standard. We better make up our minds what we believe, or we're going to get caught up in everything, the world and its system, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life that is not of the Father but of the world. We are going to get caught up. I'm not talking about the Antichrist. I'm talking about the spirit of Antichrist that is not only in the world, but it's in the church. Spirit of Antichrist is everything that's not like him. It's an attitude that is not like him. It's a spirit that is not like him. It's a spirit of rebellion. It's a spirit of rebellion against the pastor, against the man of God, against the will of God, against the purpose of God. It's a spirit that says, I don't have to do what the Word of God says. I don't have to live a certain way. It's a spirit that says, I can keep living the way I'm living. I'm not hurting anybody. Beware, that is the spirit of Antichrist. I'm telling you right now. And it's in this area. And then there's the spirit of Jezebel. Spirit of Jezebel basically likes to control the church. Likes to control the pastor. You better not go there, bro. Oh, I am going to go there. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if a spirit of Jezebel ever rises up in a church, if it gets in one individual, if it gets in one person, it's just a matter of time. It's going to spread like a cancer throughout the congregation. And there is nothing that that precious man of God can do about it. Unless Jezebel is brought down. Unless the spirit of the Jezebel is brought down, or the spirit is removed. We're not just facing outside forces, but we're facing forces from within. We're facing deceiving spirits, seducing spirits. We're facing snakes that are among us, that are coming in among and into the body of Christ and whispering to different people in the church. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter what he... Oh yeah, you can get away with this. You can get away with that. I'm telling you, that's not the voice of God. That's the voice of the devil. You better make up in your mind who you're going to listen to, because I'm telling you, I didn't plan on getting on any of this tonight. But the truth of the matter is, if we listen to the wrong voices, it's just a matter of time Well, Brother Chris, let's be realistic tonight. You've been with us now for 3 services, and honestly, I believe we could be honest enough and say there's not a spirit of Jezebel among us. No, but it has the potential to be. All it takes is just somehow adopting the theory and the persuasion that, you know, there's some things that I can do on my own. I don't need a preacher. I don't need a pastor. So what am I doing tonight? Well, what's my purpose? My purpose is to stop it before it gets started, to keep it from getting through the doors of the church. Because I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of preacher you have. It doesn't matter how anointed somebody is, unless that spirit is brought down by divine intervention, it will destroy a church. We must raise the standard. And I said all that just to say that all of those things is just another open door to the spirit of this area that would love to do everything that it can in its power to bring this church to its knees. I'm under a heavy burden tonight because I didn't come. I told you last night I didn't come just to blow smoke. I didn't come all the way from Houston just for us to shout and dance and run the aisles. We have got to understand we're in spiritual warfare. We are in spiritual warfare, and we're either going to man battle stations and pray and fast and get in the Word and continue to be the opposite of the spirit of this area, or we're going to grow weary and well-doing, and then that spirit is going to wreak havoc in the church, and it's going to wreak havoc in our lives. But I believe that I'm preaching to a group of people tonight. You've made up in your mind, I am not going to sit down. I'm not going to lie down. I'm not going to take it easy. I'm not going to coast in my recliner. I'm going to fight like I've never fought before. I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm fighting for my family. I'm fighting for the souls of this area. I'm fighting for everything. It is imperative that somebody in this service sprinkle the blood over your home. Let me say that again. You have no other choice but to get the blood on the doors of your home, your window. Because I'm telling you right now, the opposition is only going to get greater until the church becomes stronger. But I come in the authority of the Holy Ghost to tell you right now that the opposition cannot stop what is going on and what is happening. This is just a reminder to remember where we are. You are on the verge of taking this area, taking every store, taking every business, taking everything in this area that God said that is yours. But the thing that we must remember and we must understand is we must get stronger as the battle progresses, because as we become stronger, the enemy will weaken around us. Let's lift our hands all over this place tonight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself. The more the light shines, the more blind the spirit world becomes. And they will begin to stumble over one another as the army that opposed Jehoshaphat stumbled, and they started killing each other because the church, the army rose up. They began to sing. They began to praise. And they knew who they were. They stood their ground, and the enemy did not take them out. Hidabahai. Let's stand all over this place tonight. I'm through. I'll tell you how much I was in the Holy Ghost tonight. I didn't even get to the first sentence of my message tonight. God is speaking to the church, and He's saying it's time to become more mighty in battle than we've ever become before. Hida Mohoshai. The Lord is wanting to speak. I want us to be still. I want us to wait in the presence of the Lord and give Him the opportunity to speak right now. Somebody obey the Lord.
Within your midst, even at this moment, if you will bring your cares to me, I am here. You need to lay aside every weight and the sin, as I have told you in my word, that doth such easily beset you, because I am a holy God. I will receive nothing less than holy people, holy spirits, holy attitudes. I must have the heart of purity from my people. You are my people. You are my bride. I am coming back for you, but you will be adorned in white. You will not have a spot or a blemish on your wedding garment, or you will be left here behind, saith the Lord.
Let's lift our hands and receive that right now.
Draw close to me. Draw near to me. For there is a wave of deception moving close. Draw near to me. Draw near to me. For the powers of this world are rising up. In protection, I will protect you. You must come near to me for the indra.
Let's respond to that right now. Two very strong messages that God has spoken to this church. Amen. Come on, church, we need to pray. It's time to take up our weapons tonight. It's time to do what the Lord has said and draw close to Him. It doesn't get more plain than that. Draw close to Him. That's the only way out of heaven. That's the only way to revival. That's the only way to fruitfulness. That's the only way to a personal harvest and a church harvest. To draw close to Him. Come on, that's it. Hallelujah, come on. Come on, let's empty the pews tonight. Come on, church, we've come too far. Things are already breaking in the spirit. God is wanting to break this thing wide open tonight.
When my strength is gone.
I feel something in the Holy Ghost. Please listen to me right now. This is very important. If you're praying, then just keep praying. But the Lord keeps bringing to my attention that He wants to break something for somebody here tonight. He wants to break some things in someone's life for the positive. But the only way that He can do that is when you make up in your mind, as Paul and Silas made up in their mind when they were in prison, that they were going to sing, they were going to praise. That's what the Lord wants you to do tonight. He will begin to destroy the enemy that's coming against us and that's coming against this church. As we as the church put on the garment of praise. I encourage us tonight that if you are able to get to this altar, to come up here. If you are physically able and you have the strength to walk up to this altar, come up here. I'm not going to make you come, I'm just encouraging you to come. Hallelujah. Hilabokoshai. The Lord wants to loose praise in this house right now. I feel like when we begin to praise, we begin to worship. Like we know how to praise. I don't want to encourage. That's it. Come on. Lift up your hands. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's all a part of spiritual warfare that God's trying to do. He'll break chains. He'll break spirits. He'll break habits. He'll break addictions in somebody's life. So we begin to praise. Hidabahatoyolamahai. I feel that this church is being delivered right now from the prisons that you've been in. That the chains and the shackles that have held people back from their full potential are beginning to come off. Come on, somebody, you've come too far. You're too close. Amen. There's some of you that haven't moved. There's some of you here tonight that haven't taken that step of praise, of worship, and of surrender. You will not know till you try it. God, break whatever you're trying to break right now in this service. In the name of Jesus, upon the authority of the Word of God, and by the power that's in your name, I break every curse. I break every force. I break every spirit and power of the enemy. Command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord. Take up your weapons and flee. Get your hands off of these people. Get your hands off of this church. Get your hands off of it. Come on, church! This is spiritual warfare! Come on, let's get aggressive. Let's get aggressive about what we want from God. Let's get aggressive about what God's doing in our lives. Come on, take up your weapons.
I am blessed
with it on the page where the sins were written down, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Paid in full by the blood. And it reads on the page where my sins were written down, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Paid in full by the blood of the great was the debt that I owed, oh, to pay for the seed I had sown. But the precious blood of God, with his stripes and thorny crown, paid on the page where my sins were written down,
but it was paid in full
by the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the
Lamb.
Free from sin.
Yes, God. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you.
Yeah. Kill the sinner.